This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana in the region we call Acadiana. Today's podcast is being recorded in the offices of Raider Solutions, a technology company located in the Light Center in Lafayette, Louisiana. Raider creates and maintains technical strategies for businesses across the country, functioning as their complete IT department, from networks to phones, hosting of servers, and a service-oriented help desk. Raider offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. Discover Lafayette is also underwritten by Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission. With many upcoming events hitting the Lafayette market in 2018, we encourage you to visit LafayetteTravel.com to find out more about our festivals, attractions, music scene, and award-winning restaurants. Thanks to LCVC for its support of this podcast. So today's episode of Discover Lafayette takes a different twist. My youngest daughter, Kelly, recommended that I dedicate a podcast to the reasons that I decided to talk about Lafayette and what's so special about Lafayette, what motivated me to start a new endeavor. So for today's episode, I've invited Kelly Swift, my 18-year-old daughter, and Taylor, my 25-year-old daughter, and we're just going to have a conversation. And I have to say that usually I show up and I'm so interested in what the guest has to say that I forget about myself. But this is a first for me, just talking about why I'm doing things. So girls, thank you both for supporting me, first of all, in my endeavor, and for being here today. And I want to thank Jason Sikora, too, our sound engineer, for making this possible. Thank you, Jason. So, Kelly, I think you had some questions you were going to start with. So let's do it.
So I really wanted to do this so I could know more about you, because there's a lot that I don't know, and I assume there's a lot that everyone else doesn't know. So can you tell me a little bit about your background, specifically how you went to law school in the 80s, and I know there weren't many women there at the time, so
right.
Maybe start with that.
Thank you. Yeah, I did get a late start as far as being a mother. I mean, I had Kelly when I was 41, so the early part of my career, when I went to LSU and then LSU Law School, I never thought I'd become a mother, you know, at 41. So it's been a journey, Kelly. I grew up in Baton Rouge. I really only thought about LSU because of finances, and I got there and loved it. It coming from Broadmoor High School, if anybody's listening from Baton Rouge, we had a great big high school, but LSU had 25,000 something people, and it was such an adventure, as I know you're finding out now, being a freshman at LSU. And then I went to law school really without the desire, a burning desire to be a lawyer. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. So I applied on a whim, as I do with a lot of things, and I got in and started in 1980. And there were just a few women in our law school class. And I think I was telling you about that. They didn't even have ladies' restrooms upstairs. There was one bathroom for us in the building. And it was my junior year, my second year in law school, when they finally realized they needed to have more bathrooms.
Thank God.
For the few of us that were there. I think it was a little griping that made it happen. So we used our persuasion skills. And then I moved here to Lafayette in 1983 and I never thought I'd be staying here. And here I am almost 35 years later. I moved here in August 1983. And started dating your dad not long after that. But this was just going to be a somewhat of a pit stop. I got a job with Judge Ronnie Cox in the state court system here in Lafayette, and got a job with a big law firm after that. It was called Broadhurst Brook. And life happened, and here I am today.
That means us, Taylor.
Yep. I know. So, yeah. So, speaking about LSU, one of the reasons we're doing this podcast is because you're specializing, you're majoring in communications.
Right.
And I want to congratulate you while we're talking about that, about getting hired by the Reveille.
Thank you.
So, I think I might be one of your first interviews.
Very first interview. Haven't had the job for 24 hours, yeah. But I've got an interview.
Yeah, it was an easy target. So, yeah. So, did you want me to follow up on that, or what?
Well, okay. I wanted to know specifically, besides Taylor and I and, you know, Dad, I guess, mm-hmm. why did you choose to stay in Lafayette for 35 years and continue to choose?
Well, I have to tell you, back in the early 80s, before I moved here, I visited. Lafayette was a smaller town. It was a wonderful place, and it was booming because of the oil and gas industry. And when I would come visit, people would take me to La Fonda, which was, it's still a very popular place. It was the place to transact business back then. And I really liked it. I liked the people. I had friends here from LSU. And then when I was graduating from law school, a lot of my friends were looking at Lafayette. And I was kind of surprised because I thought they would stay in Baton Rouge or want to go to New Orleans. But people said, no, Lafayette is really the place to go because it's growing, there's a lot of opportunity, and it's a fun place to live. And so when I got the job here and I moved here, I lived near downtown, and I experienced firsthand the culture. And it was just 50 miles from Baton Rouge. I was shocked at the culture difference. People were still mainstream. They were speaking French in the courthouse. The culture was more family-friendly than I had seen in Baton Rouge, and people knew one another. It was just a really good place to be, and so I felt good here. And so when I started dating your father and then we got married later in the 80s, I just never really thought about moving. He was from Lake Charles, as you both know, and there had been some talk about where we would stay, but we really thought that Lafayette was the place to be, and I've never looked back. And, you know, since Katrina's happened with the big hurricanes back in the middle 2000s, Baton Rouge has really changed. And so if I ever had any thoughts about going back, that really was put by the wayside. And by then, I wasn't really thinking about it,
right.
You know. So I worked here in Lafayette. I ended up traveling around the country with some work. As y'all know, I did legal work. When Taylor was born, I was kind of a specialist in what's called the Uniform Commercial Code, and I traveled around the country for that, and then and took a break from that so I could be home with you. And then my parents both got sick. They lived in Baton Rouge, and I spent quite a few years taking care of them, going back and forth, and ended up being one of the moms that got involved at school. Taylor was out at the academy before you were born, Kelly, and ended up spending a lot of time at your school, trying to be, you know, give back what I could to what was important, which at the time was school and then our church, Northwood United Methodist. So,
and I would like to talk about that. I know one thing about you is that when you want to do something, you get it done. And I know that there was an issue with a playground
at the academy.
The Academy of Sacred Heart.
Right.
Do you remember
right.
that, Taylor?
Yeah, I think the wood was questionable.
There was no playground.
Oh, there was no
Taylor
playground.
Taylor started.
At all.
You
there
were
was
four. No wood. You were in the right. first pre-K right. class at the academy, and it's like 200 acres of pristine, gorgeous land. And so we're out there. We drove up, and I noticed there were two swings. One was broken. There was an old merry-go-round that had come off its, you know, base, and then there was a broken seesaw. And I thought, no, this is not going to happen. So I ended up being active at school, was president of the parents club, and we got all the moms to get Albertson's cards, and we raised money, and I've found a fellow that built the playground that's out there now, because I just couldn't see little girls not having a place to swing, you know. And
right.
and so, Kelly, by the time you came along, the playground was built back in 1999. I remember mm-hmm. holding you, and we had the christening of the playground.
And me.
Yeah, yeah. It was a special year. So. Yeah, but I do tend to want to leave things better than I found them. And I don't mean that in a trite way, but that's one of the things that motivated me about this podcast. I just look at Lafayette and our whole Acadiana region, and I just think it's a gem. And there are so many groups that are dedicated for business, you know, the Chamber, One Acadiana, I should say, or LEDA. There are other groups such as Ben Berthelot and the Convention and Visitors Commission that talk about travel. But the idea behind this is to really focus on what our whole community offers, which isn't just business or travel. It's the people behind the stories.
And yeah, the life of the town.
The life of the town.
Yeah.
It's so, I know Jason's probably seen that, our sound engineer. You're not from here, and I just... Everybody I talk to, Jason, like you, they say, you know, I came here not knowing much about it, and I don't want to speak for you, but I hear over and over people were shocked, and then they fell in love with our town, and I've seen that myself. You know, growing up in Louisiana, but not from Lafayette, It's a place you can move to, feel comfortable, and stay put.
Yeah.
And raise a family and make a good career for yourself.
Yeah. So. That's true. I mean, my friend Libby Menard from ESA, but really she's from
out of town.
She's from out of town. She's from out of the country.
Yes.
The Netherlands.
Yeah, she's from the Netherlands. And then my friend Hannah, whose mom is from Germany, they came here. Libby came here for different reasons. Her dad is in the oil field. And mm-hmm. And they stayed, you know?
Right.
And it's like, they could really go anywhere with the jobs that they have.
Right.
And shows just how great
their parents
town is.
Have. Yeah. And we're so blessed to have them as a part of our community. And there's so many people like that mm-hmm. that come from all over and stay, you know, mm-hmm. and don't want to leave.
Right, right. A lot of people I've interviewed already on the podcast could be living anywhere. I mean, even Chris Rader that owns this company where we're taping, this could be based in Houston, L.A. He could be anywhere, but he wants to be here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I want to thank you girls, too. I know, Kelly, you want me to get in some stuff about why I'm doing this, but I've run for office twice, and anybody that's done that knows it takes a toll on the family. And y'all were right there alongside with me. And I think the first time I ran was in District 4, City Council. Mm-hmm. We live over by the Oil Center. And Taylor, I don't know if you remember this, you were, I think, in 10th grade. Mm-hmm. And Kelly was in 3rd grade. And y'all were part of the campaign. I'll never forget how much help you were. And helping me walk door to door, being available for things, and
I think the best was the trolley ride.
Oh yeah,
with her signs all over the side and mm-hmm. Kelly's classmates and
third graders.
What is that?
You remember
eight years old?
Yeah,
just
right.
Screaming, "Vote for Jan! Vote for Jan!"
While you can
down the street.
My favorite part was loitering with Taylor when we were trying to go door to door. Some mm-hmm. people don't want that.
Some people don't want to.
Some do not.
What memories do you have of being part of a campaign? Do you remember much?
I do remember the trolley experience. But what I love about both times that you ran, everyone in my grade and then everyone at my school at ESA wanted to support you.
I know, I was really lucky.
Yeah, and they all wanted your t-shirts. They all wore your t-shirts.
Oh, the Jan Swift merch. It was selling like hotcakes.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone wanted them, and
your
they
brand.
Still wear them.
I know.
Yes.
I remember your friends posting pictures. They would travel all over the
it's
world.
Everywhere.
And they'd have the Jan Swift t-shirt on.
Someone in Ireland.
Why can't they vote in Lafayette?
Yeah, unfortunately, we were all 17 or under, so,
yeah.
You know, but.
Your friends have been really supportive, as have yours, Taylor. So, yeah, but y'all have been a part of watching me try to make our community better, and I'm grateful for that. I'm glad to have this opportunity to talk about that.
I want to know what your dreams for Lafayette are in the future, even in 5 years. What do you see Lafayette in 5 years or 10 years?
Well, the first thing I see about Lafayette is that the oil and gas industry has changed so much that people now know in their gut that we have to diversify, and we're doing that. And so the Fiber to the Home initiative has not just made it easier to do business here, but we're attracting a lot of businesses. And so my goal is, as new people move in with different types of businesses, that there's more of a push for walkability. Mm-hmm. I know that there's always pushback when you have change, but my dream is that Lafayette can be more walkable, livable.
Very true.
We have got so many cars on the road. The roads are at full capacity. And I think it's going to take your generation and new people coming in to say, we're ready to support some changes. Mm-hmm. And so now that I'm not running for office anymore, I feel like I can talk more clearly about it. Because I always would work behind the scenes for that. But my dream would be for Lafayette to have it be where you could have a bike and get around.
Right.
And feel safe. Or you could walk. We can have more living downtown where people can actually look at working downtown, have more of a thriving nightlife that's healthy, a healthy environment for all of us. So I'd like to see that, but I think that takes changes of that magnitude, take not only a community investment, but it's going to take more people standing up and saying, we really want this.
As someone who frequently runs from Mel's across Johnson to the horse farm, I would love for that. I don't jaywalk, but I jay-run.
So yeah, I know.
It would be great.
It would be great. So, because we live by the oil center, and you can ride your bike somewhat to campus and downtown, but, you know, your dad and I remember we tried to ride our bikes to CC's once.
Tried.
Yeah, well, we made it, but I never felt totally safe, you know, on my bike. So that would be something I'd like to see for you guys, you know, and other people. I think more people would get on their bikes if they felt that was safe, you know. So those are some things I've always wanted. And I want our community to really feel proud of itself. I think some of the reasons behind the guests I've chosen so far, people such as, you know, Charlie Goodson at Charlie G's, or Robert Dafford, the mural artist, people that really talk about their love of Lafayette. I want more people to understand that you love things and then you take care of it. Mm-hmm. And so if we really love our community, I think people would want to take care of it, make this a place that's not only cleaner, but also where we all know more about our background and what we have here, what's offered here in Lafayette. Yeah. So those are some of my dreams.
Well, speaking of dreams, tell me who your dream guest would be to have on this show.
Yeah, we talked about that before we came on.
Besides Taylor and I.
Well, y'all are my dream guest. And you know, I've had so many good guests on already. Two that I may have to take this clip and play it for them on the phone. Two of my dream guests are Gail Romero and Nancy Van Eaton. Nancy Prince. I don't know if you girls have met them, but they started Van Eaton and Romero, the largest realtor company here in the Lafayette area. And they have been working together for over 40 years. And when you meet them, they laugh and they finish each other's sentences. And they're both highly successful, humble women that have been kind to our community. They're great friends to have, but they're really funny and they don't see it. You know, they're just entertaining because they're so exuberant about life. Mm-hmm. They both give back a lot financially of their time. They're good bosses, but they're just fun friends. And that's the kind of guest I want to have on. People that'll laugh and not realize that they're inspiring others, you know.
Just impressive women all around.
Yeah, they really are. But there's so many guests that I want to get on. I mean, Ema Hawk is another one. Mm-hmm. I think you know him through your friend Sabri at ESA. Yeah. But Ema has he's got a catering business. He's got Bailey's. But most importantly about him, he didn't grow up here in Lafayette, but he's a solid, solid person that gives back. But he gives in ways that you don't see. And I think he's a real inspirational guest that I'd like to have on the show.
And I know you've done that too. I mean, you've given a lot, especially since your campaign. You've had the money you had after your campaign. I know that you've been giving it. And tell us what your favorite organization to give to was.
First of all, let me thank people that gave to my race for state rep in 2015. I learned that I should have asked for help. I know you're going to ask me that later, what I learned. I had enough money to win. I was more than blessed with contributions, and I wish I had asked for help. And so in the aftermath of the campaign, I sat down and I had over $30,000 left. And you have to either give to candidates or nonprofits. You can't just take the money and pay taxes on it, you know.
Shoot.
And
I know, asked darn multiple it. Times. But,
right.
<alas. laughs>
I couldn't buy clothes for the charitable organization that I run at home. But so anyway, I looked at causes in our community and tried to figure out what would the people that supported me, what would they approve of. And I think one of the biggest joys I got was sponsoring a training session this past year in 2017, back in October, for National Coalition Building Institute, NCBI. It's a group that trains people in how to communicate and not exclude others. So you learn how to listen, and also the many ways that we all exclude others without meaning to, whether it's by their race, their religion, their gender, different prejudices that people have that they don't realize.
We live in bubbles, and we don't really realize how other people feel about things that might not really affect us. And it's sensitivity training, sort of, I guess.
And you don't realize what you're doing until it's brought to your attention. And this is Diane Mouton Allen is the local person. And Kelly, you went with me last January or February. There was a panel discussion downtown. Mm-hmm. And I was included as the conservative Republican. And there were five of us. And Drew, Pearson Cross, excuse me, was the professor from UL, was the moderator. And they had each of us talk about what we thought was going to happen in America and our community after Trump. And, you know, I was honest about who I had voted for. And I was the conservative older person on the panel, and Diane Mouton Allen came up to me and asked me to get involved with NCBI to go to a little training session, and I was so impressed with it. It was just a free session that I said, let me sponsor something, and they brought in the lady that started it from Baltimore. And we were able to train about 35 people locally, including law enforcement from different parishes, different people of all walks of life. And so I've stayed involved with it, and I hope to see more good come out of that, with especially opening up dialogues between our law enforcement and different communities that may not feel they have a voice. It's about giving people a voice in a respectful way. So I'm very proud of that. But I gave to other causes too. Dad and I got to go to 232 Help Functions and the Hilliard Art Museum and the Heart Association, cancer groups. I really tried to give it to people that that make a difference, to help with those that need help. So, yeah.
I know, speaking of the Hilliard Art Museum, I know you were involved in that for a while. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, Joe Savoie, the president of UL Lafayette, asked me to represent the university on the board. And so I served for 6 years. It's hard to believe. I just rotated off. And the Art Museum, to me, is one of our gems that more and more people are getting to know about, but it's right there on campus, and you girls have both been there a lot. You'll see that many days nobody's there. And so the new director, I'm really proud about, Lou Ann Greenwall, came in during the last portion of my term, and she has really opened up the museum to people that may not have gone. They have free Wednesday night openings. Anybody can go that's not a member, but being a member is only $50 a year. So you can join for your family and go anytime. And you can see not only local art, but artists from around the world. They have really acclaimed exhibits, and it's just a treasure trove, an example of what we have here in Lafayette. But so few people know, they'll pass by it and don't realize what that building is. So I was glad to serve on that, for the especially since I didn't go to UL. I was really honored to represent the university.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, okay, so I also want to know if you have any advice for people my age, you know.
18 years old.
18.
Almost 19.
Almost 19.
A couple days away.
Yeah.
Yes. A few cents away. So, I don't know. What advice do you have for young women here in the South, or young women who are interested in law school, or any of that?
Well, let me first start with law school is a wonderful aim for people. I went without a burning desire to be a lawyer. And if I was giving advice to my younger self, I would say, Jan, sit down and think about what you want to do with your life. Because even to this day, I never identified as a lawyer, even though I'm still practicing. Some people go with a burning desire, and I think the best advice I could give is, no matter what you choose to do in life, think about what makes your heart sing. And I know we all have to make money. I mean, you can't just stand out on the corner and play your guitar all day and you know, hope you're going to make a living. But I didn't have that burning desire to be a lawyer, and I was very fortunate that I can write well.
Yeah.
I mean, I learned the hard way. I barely got through my freshman year because I just didn't get it. I didn't have anybody in my family that had finished college, and it was confusing, but I was able to write well. So I got through it, and once I got through the first year, it was much easier, and I did all right. But I would give advice that if you want to go to law school or med school, or you want to be a writer, as you may be wanting to do, and a lawyer, make sure that it's something you want to do. Because, you know, I just turned 60 this past fall, and there's a lot to life besides work. But work consumes most of your daytime hours, and it's so nice to be able to get up and really be excited about what you're going to do. And if you've noticed, I've had several careers in my lifetime. I ended up lobbying at the Capitol. I was Deputy Secretary of State for a while. I worked nationally to improve laws. I've been city parish attorney here. I've been a real estate attorney.
A mom.
I've run Upper Lafayette Economic Development. And out of all those threads, the most fun I had was when I was working with people, getting them to see what they had in common. And I didn't have to be a lawyer to do that, but being a lawyer opened up a lot of doors for me. And that was kind of what I wanted it for. But in today's world, there are a lot of lawyers, and it's very competitive. And so, like, let's say you, Kelly, you come from a family of lawyers. Your uncle's a lawyer, and like Charles, Dad and I are both lawyers, we know lawyers, you would have more doors open for you for at least interviews. You still have to prove yourself, but I want to see you do something that really makes you want to get up every day. And when I see you writing, like when you write things, your heart, I can just tell because you're smiling, you're happy.
Yeah.
And Taylor, for you, when you're painting, I see how happy you are when you're creating. And those are the things that can sustain you in life. But we all know people that chose careers and they get up and they're like, got to go to work. And it affects their family. It affects their life. It affects everything about the quality of their life. Mm-hmm. So I would recommend that people figure out what they like to do. And then, like, you're still in school where you don't have to specialize in anything. I'm proud of you for being hired by the Reveille at LSU and being in communications, but you've really got 2 years before you have to nail down what you're going to do, much less think about law school and other things. So I would recommend kids, you know, get part-time jobs, try to work in the field that you think you want to be in, because you may not like it, you know?
Yeah.
And we've had friends, when John and I were younger, some of our friends became doctors, and boy, they started work, and they didn't like it.
And you really don't want a doctor that doesn't like what they do.
No. No, but they ended up not being doctors. And think about all the years they spent in school. And, you know, it used to be more affordable. But you can imagine today having all that student debt and then getting out and realizing at 30, oh, no, I don't like it, you know.
Yeah.
So that's advice I have. The other advice I have that we've talked about privately is don't be afraid to ask for help.
Definitely.
I think I've tended in my short little life here to think I could do things by myself and get it done. And while things went well, there are times, particularly when I was campaigning and other things, where I would have been really well situated if I'd asked for help. And I didn't. I don't know if it's that I didn't want to appear weak or I didn't think I needed it.
I think it might be a woman's issue, honestly, just because, you know, we're all trying to prove that, you know, we can do it on our own. But at the same time, sometimes a lot of things are a lot better off when you do have a collaborative issue, like a lot of people working together. So I think maybe women try to get ahead of ourselves sometimes, and it's important to maybe even ask another woman for help, you know, just
anyone really
lean on others. It's not a sign of weakness. I think it's more a sign of strength to recognize that, you know, it's everything gets done better when we do it together.
I've definitely learned that, Taylor. I've learned that the hard way. And when you're running for office, that really is a full-time job, but it's a full-time job for several people. I mean, you're not only making calls to ask for money, you're having to stay on top of the issues, you're being asked to speak to groups, you have to walk door to door, you have to organize handout materials, you're always responding to things that come up, and most of us have jobs besides that and families. And so juggling all that was a lot, and it takes a toll. It's worth it, though. I mean, I think anybody that cares about their community, I really encourage them to either volunteer for a campaign or run for office, because you learn more about your community than you've ever dreamed. And that, I mean, that's why I was doing it, because I really do care about our community, and I wouldn't change anything, but I would ask for more help.
I think something a lot of people don't know about you is that you didn't come from a privileged background, and that you really have had to work for everything that you have. And it's just so inspiring.
Oh, Kelly, thanks.
To me, to see, like, because you don't talk about that a lot. You had a tough childhood, and everything you have, you really worked for, which is, you know,
nothing was given. It was all earned.
Yeah. So
thanks, girls. Yeah.
That's why I really do look to you for advice on things, on how to get things that I want and, you know, how to persevere. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I couldn't talk about my background when I was younger. I was ashamed, and I shouldn't have been, but that was a maturity thing, you know. But my mom, as you all know, had she had some problems. She had mental illness. And my father, it was tough. I mean, so it was inspirational in many ways. That made me want to, that's kind of one of the reasons I went to law school. I don't think it was good motivation, but I wanted to be able to make money to where bill collectors wouldn't be calling the house, or where I could have a nice car.
I was about to say, wasn't there a nice
somebody had a Mercedes. I got to drive a Mercedes when I was at LSU, and I thought, I want one of these. It was a 450 SL. Dark blue convertible. And I thought, I want to buy one of those for myself. But I knew that I needed education. Yeah. Not a dark blue one, though. Well, not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah. I've had two. Yeah. Three Mercedes. But they've all been beautiful.
Hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But honestly, I think what we go through in life, it forges you. And it's, you know, it's not what happens to you, but it's what you do with what happens. And I don't mean that to sound trite, but I don't think I would have been so inspired to go to law school and to work hard. But what I wanted was to make a difference and not feel that I was less than. And from that came an understanding that we're all enough, just like we are. But I'm grateful for my background, because I think it led me to do things I wouldn't have done. So, but it was something I couldn't talk about in the past. And I didn't really talk about it till I campaigned in 2015, because that was when there was all the commotion about whether or not Medicaid was going to be expanded in Louisiana.
Right.
And I knew from my mom's story that, as y'all know, I'm very politically conservative. And I only think that we need government to do what the people can't do for themselves. But I saw in my family, my mother needed help from the government.
Definitely.
And I was on Social Security in college. And so it helped me to get my education and start my life on the right foot. And I was very honored. I had student loans. It was a privilege to pay those back because it helped me get through law school. So I'm grateful to the government, but I also don't like to see too much government, I guess, because I know there's like a fine balance. So I didn't talk about it until that campaign, because there was talk about people not wanting to expand Medicaid. And even as a Republican, I thought, you know, some people in our society need help.
Yeah.
And if they need help and it's legitimate, I think people are willing to step up and support that. And I was willing to support that Medicaid expansion. And I know that's still controversial, but my own background allowed me to speak up.
Yeah.
And it was scary.
Personal experience will form your beliefs.
I couldn't
sure.
believe it, though. I couldn't believe that I was being honest, because I had never, ever talked about that. But, you know, mom and dad are long gone, and I'm grateful for what they gave me.
Yeah.
So they loved me. Yeah.
Well, different topic.
Okay.
Okay. Smooth.
Trish. Yeah. Smooth operator.
Okay. So this is way different, but tell us about Uniform Commercial Code.
Oh my gosh.
How you got involved in that.
Yeah.
What
that
it is
so cool. I think you need a Wikipedia page just for that.
Well, the cool thing is, when I was in law school, Louisiana didn't have a Uniform Commercial Code. We had parts of it, but not Article 9, which is how you borrow money.
So the Universal Commercial Code, excuse me, is what?
It's Uniform Commercial Code is a whole set of laws dealing with commercial transactions, whether it's a check or a loan. And so the UCC that I'm talking about was, it's how you borrow money on anything but real estate. And so I took it in law school because I thought I was going to Texas. So I didn't study Louisiana laws when I was in law school. I took this other law that was common law, and everybody but us had it. The other 49 states had had it forever, like at least 30 to 40 years. So I got out of law school, and I took it because I was the chancellor's son. When I was in law school, Bill was in my section, and so I got to know the chancellor, and he was like the guy that wrote the UCC way back in the 40s and 50s. He was older. So I took it just thinking, I'm not staying here. I'm going to be in Texas anyway. So then I'm a lobbyist, fast forward just a few years, and Louisiana was going to pass the UCC finally. And so I helped lobby that and pass it. So the Secretary of State, Fox McKithen, who was the son of Governor John McKithen, you know, Fox asked me to work for him. I was like, oh, I don't want to work for government. But he asked me to set up the UCC in Louisiana. So I thought, I'll just call the other 49 states, because it's the Uniform Commercial Code, and I'll copy them. So I called all the secretaries of state, and I ended up actually polling 4,283 counties, and nobody did anything the same. And I was like, no, darn it. So Louisiana, we ended up being one of the best in the country. I set up this system here, and then I wanted the other states to be uniform like it was supposed to be. So now there's a uniform form that people use in the country. So I got to be known. It was just been being hard-headed, because I thought if I'm going to do something, I want it to be done right. So the other secretaries of state, I had to travel and got real involved nationally. So their offices had to follow what the elected officials said. So now there's one UCC form that's used around the country. And Kelly, it's funny that you ask, because Taylor, I kind of backed off when you were little because I was traveling too much. And now that I stepped down from Upper Lafayette so I could just have a new space in my life, I have the chance, I think, to travel to Cambodia and Myanmar and Georgia. Not the one here in the States, but, you know, over by Eastern Asia, to help developing countries set up their own uniform commercial code, which is really just a way that to help small businesses borrow money. They don't have secured lending transaction systems. And so the World Bank goes in and helps these developing countries. And so I could have done it all these years, but I just didn't because I couldn't be gone out of the country like that with you guys. But
Now that
you're in college.
Right.
I know. And I can travel and just go and then come back. It's not like I have to be there for long periods of time. But so I can work from home.
Wow.
I know.
Work
so
from
it's
home
kind of.
Or from Cambodia.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't. They assumed I was fluent in French. And I was like, no, not fluent in French. But so anyway,
baguette.
Thanks for asking. So you never know with your career, things do come around. So.
Yeah.
Cool. So any other questions?
Yes. Also, some things that people don't know about you.
Uh-oh.
Let's get with it, Taylor.
I'm kidding.
Please. You are kind. A hippie, I think. You love things.
No,
I'm serious. I just see you as someone who wants to live on the beach and sell seashells by the seashore.
Well, that's like a slug, you know. I mean,
you love local art, pottery, and you love things, you love simple things, and and you're also, you're very just accepting of a lot of different people.
Very open-minded.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So,
Especially from you, Taylor. Thank you for saying that.
We
I do get reprimanded quite a bit. Yeah. How could you say that, Mom?
Well, you know.
She's trying to keep you on your toes.
I know. You know? I know.
But
thanks,
anyway.
Kel. I never think of myself as a hippie. I mean, how do you define hippie?
Oh, I don't. I stay away from that. I don't define it. But I think I just mean you're very open-minded and just I think you're very, you see people for who they are. And, you know, I mean, you are a baby boomer, so there's that.
That's true.
I think as conservative as you may be, you know, fiscally, I think you tend to be much more open socially.
Yeah.
You know, just people, you know, live your lives, be healthy.
Yeah. Well, I don't want people telling me what to do. And
exactly, yeah.
I just don't feel that it's my place to even. I know sometimes I do tell y'all what to do.
Yeah, but that's okay.
You don't listen. But, I never thought of myself as a hippie. But, you know, if I had my druthers, we wouldn't live in a larger house. We would have a small, very simple home with.
You can move into my dorm and I'll take the house.
That's true. Yeah. That would be a lot simpler. I wouldn't have to vacuum or do anything. But I do like simple. I like living simple and I like conserving. Like I'm really concerned about our environment, believe it or not. And
as it should be.
I just feel that we waste so much.
Yeah.
I'm really into the reduce, reuse, and then recycle. You know, like don't use it to begin with. If you're going to use it, reuse it. Just like our Christmas wrapping that we use year after year.
Oh,
you know,
boy.
I think I'm just.
Save bags now.
Save bags, save paper, save everything.
The planet.
Yeah. So it's not just about wasting money, you know, and being more conservative with what we have, but it's also just not wasting things, like not wasting the energy that was used to produce it, but to value what we have.
Yeah.
So maybe if that's hippie, but I do like my pottery. I'm more comfortable with earthy pottery than I am fancy silver and you know, although it all has its place. Maybe it's because of the way I grew up.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable with simple things. Mm-hmm. You know,
we do have some weird pottery at home.
We do have a lot.
Faces and glasses.
Oh, man.
I know.
Those egg strainers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
So, Taylor, do you have anything to ask Mom?
I guess what's next for you?
What's next?
Yeah.
Well, I'm open right now. I felt, you know, it seems like every few years I get kind of an urge to do something new mm-hmm. and learn new things. And this podcast is really my focus right now, Taylor. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful to Raider Solutions. I've had to learn and grow because doing a podcast might seem easy, but there's a lot of behind-the-scenes work that I wasn't familiar with. Getting the RSS feed, learning how it's distributed, mm-hmm. Learning how to be a host, getting the guest and all. It's so rewarding, but I don't want to get stagnant. And so for me, this is a growth opportunity. And I have been helping the Catholic Services, as you know. I've been helping Kim Boudreaux, mm-hmm. Kim James Boudreaux at Catholic Services, and just, you know, practicing. I've had a few clients helping Sheree Bear with her Tea Tiny House project, which yeah. I love. And there's no law on that, Louisiana. So I love those kind of projects where we can look at how to make something right from the beginning and not mm-hmm. have to just...
set a precedent.
Yeah, set a precedent. And she's really, she and her husband, Jimmy, just have a very high quality outfit, and they want to see tiny houses take off in Louisiana. So I'm really proud to be associated with them. But what's next is I've the website, I'm working on that, discoverlafayette.net. I'm launching a newsletter this month. I'll be sending out a monthly newsletter talking about the guest, promoting what's going on in our community. So there's some things going on, but mainly just having some time to be instead of feeling like I have to do so much. And I'm really lucky that I don't have to work 8 to 5
yeah.
at a job. I mean, I realize how lucky I am that I can take a breather and just, you know, kind of rediscover myself.
Mm-hmm. Rediscover Lafayette.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep. I'm so glad y'all are my daughters.
Oh, you're welcome.
I know. And this was Kelly's idea. Is this how you wanted it to be? Did it turn out? Did we talk yes. about the things you wanted to talk about?
Yes. Everything I wanted to talk about.
Everything.
Every single thing.
Oh, we forgot the last question. What is your favorite color?
Oh, yeah.
Blue.
Oh. You'll have to be more specific.
Whoa.
Although I'm in black every day, huh? I know. Anything else, Kelly? Jason, you have a question?
I do. So we have the Swift family here.
Yep.
And we talked about schooling and Lafayette and mm-hmm. your career, family. Lafayette's also a very fun town. So what does Jan Swift do for fun, and what does the Swift family do for fun?
Oh, my gosh.
What do you guys look forward to doing, and what kind of events do you go to?
What kind of events do we go to?
Or just things that you do together.
I'm going to let Kelly start because okay. she's downtown girl, and I don't know what you're going to talk about.
I love downtown Lafayette. Mm-hmm. My friend Nick Schutte and I were walking around the other day, and we accidentally scheduled a dance class, a Cajun dance class. I wish I could say which studio it was, but... there can't be more than one downtown. It's like a dance studio.
Did you give them my credit card?
Mm-hmm. No.
Great.
No, but my favorite thing, Mom, you and I went to this, it was at the Paul Hilliard mm-hmm. Art Museum mm-hmm. With the Festival International logo.
Oh, yeah, Robert Dafford.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we were accidentally in the newspaper.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't
think... That was fun. I looked at the pictures like, gosh, I'm glad we dressed up.
That was... Oh, right. Yeah. That was super fun. I just like going to things with you and just...
Thanks.
Seeing...
We always make friends.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
We, one time we were just walking down the streets of Los Angeles and, gosh, we...
That was fun.
Yeah, we met a lot of different people and stuff. So.
Yeah, you would have liked that, Jason. We showed up in West Hollywood, and Kelly and I took off, and, well, we made some friends.
Yeah.
People were offering us their cars and giving us flowers. And
she said no.
I know.
Well, Los Angeles, surprising to a lot of people when you go there first, you think it's going to be, they're kind of stuck up or like yeah. have this facade, but they're not.
Not at
they're
all.
They're some of the nicest people in the country.
Not at
and
all.
And if you're
yeah.
living in that town, why wouldn't you be, really?
Right.
You
know? The weather was perfect. I mean, that was a great family trip. We
yeah.
all, when we travel, we all travel together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look forward to those. So
recently yeah. we've been going back out to where I grew up in Hidden Hills mm-hmm. in Arnoville. And we've been renting a house out there and
yeah.
Canoeing on the lake and just reliving wonderful yeah.
it was
memories
great out
from
there.
My childhood.
Like when Dad fell into the water with his phone in his pocket.
Yeah, that was a yes. wonderful memory.
That was really cool to watch. I can tell you. Like
a slow motion train wreck.
Yeah, except, you know, real time.
Yeah, Hidden Hills is probably our latest thing to rediscover, Jason. For people that don't know, it's right across Bayou Karen Crow. It's right outside of Lafayette Parish, and the girls were both, we moved to town when you were one, Kelly, but Taylor was out there.
I got to experience it, climbing trees,
yeah,
you know, hiking in the levees.
56-acre lake, and it's right outside of town, and one of our local friends has a cabin there that we rent, and we're going there for Kelly's to celebrate your 19th birthday next weekend. So that's a real, it's like you're out of town, but you're not. You're right here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then we just hang out. Like, we do a lot together. I hear a lot of my friends talk about their kids are off and they don't really see them. But I feel very lucky. Even with you, Kelly, at LSU, you come home quite often. And yeah. Taylor, we see you so often. I feel blessed.
I do work for my father, so there is that.
Yeah. But, I mean, you come over anyway. We just cook and hang out and go to the movies. And
went to the movies last night.
Yep.
We saw Molly's Game. And you know what? Funny story. I have to. I want to cover that for the Reveille. I'm going to rank it, but I thought it was about
Tanya Harding.
Yeah.
So we're there waiting for ice skating.
I don't know why, but I read the wrong thing on Google, and I thought
no. the whole movie. I'm like, where's Tanya Harding?
I thought it was the movie about Tanya Harding. I was confused why it was called Molly.
Oh, Tanya.
I thought it was
Is that what it's called, Tanya? Yes, well, we'll have to go to that tonight.
Well, I'm sorry.
So we're supporting the Grand.
There was ice skating though. I mean,
there was ice skating for a second.
She was running away from someone. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the one that we thought we were going to see.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But we went with Kelly and her boyfriend. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff we do, though. But the whole movie, I was like, I thought this was about Tanya Harding.
Yeah.
You know?
She kept asking me in the middle. She's like, where is she?
I guess one of my favorite things about our family that we do, and it has to do with politics, growing up with two lawyers for parents, I mean, you're going to know what's going on in the legal world. And so pretty much every time there's an election, no matter how big or small, we'll sit in the backyard and go over basically the spark notes for the for the laws that are being, you know, proposed.
Yeah.
And it's kind of wonderful just to go through it and actually know what it means, because the legalese of it is so complicated.
Mm-hmm. It is.
But I think that's probably my favorite part of our family, how open and we just communicate about everything going on, because I get a bit fired up about politics, especially recently. And it's really nice to have a very open, very intelligent conversation with the entire family. Just
and the dogs.
And the dogs, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They listen more than anything.
They're great listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have them on the podcast, though, because I don't know how much.
Casper.
Yeah, he'd probably say too much, though.
Yeah.
He
knows.
How long is this, an hour? Just woo-woo for 45 minutes?
And you know, we always cancel each other's votes out.
Right.
So we have a nice discussion, and then we go vote.
Right.
Oh, but we still love each other after. And
This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Hug.
At least we're all informed. So.
Right.
I know. And I'm proud of y'all for both voting. I mean, you both went and registered when you were 18. So
I had a friend yesterday who registered for the Green Party. And he's the first person to register for the Green Party in 2 years. So
in Louisiana?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
In the world.
Yeah. Hmm.
Nick.
Are you an independent?
I'm independent.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of just like to get everything from both sides and then make up my own mind.
Yeah, I think that if you identify as conservative or liberal, not everyone who identifies as conservative or liberal, but you're missing out on half the argument and half the information for the most part.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, anything else that... Did I talk about what I was supposed to talk about?
I think so.
It's hard to think about yourself. I did learn that I'm a hippie.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll take that and mull that over.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, I take it as a compliment because I feel too uptight sometimes.
I don't think you're uptight, especially she always starts fires, not on purpose. She's not
in the kitchen.
Jiffy Pop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we covered everything on the index card.
Okay. So for those of you listening, thank you. As we were talking about, Discover Lafayette is dedicated to the people of Lafayette. And I think the Swift girls, Taylor and Kelly, just offer so much. You really give me hope for our future. And I want to thank everybody that supports this podcast. It's for you, not only people here in Lafayette and Acadiana, but people that want to visit Lafayette. It's a great place to live, work, and visit. I'd like to thank Jason Sakura and Raider Solutions for taping this episode of Discover Lafayette. And I'd like to also thank once again Ben Berthelot and the team at Lafayette Convention and Visitors Commission. For more information on Discover Lafayette, please visit discoverlafayette.net. You can visit our website at Discover Lafayette, or contact me, Jan, at janswift.com if you have any ideas for the show. and sign up for our newsletter on the website, too. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, this is Jan Swift.